This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
It's RÚV English Radio. Hello, I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. And today I welcome back an old friend, I think it's fair to say, to RÚV English. We've spoken before, but also her husband as well. They've been working together on a book which is in English and Icelandic, and it is hopefully the first of three language pairs in which this book about multiculturalism is going to exist. Alondra, welcome.
Thank you so much, Darren.
And Helgi, welcome.
Thank you.
I wear many hats, like people do in Iceland, so one of them is being the chair of Women Tech Iceland, and then also now I am writing books.
Yes.
So newly writer, you could say.
Well, this is very exciting, and this book is sold out, you were telling me.
Yeah, so Helgi and I had this idea of writing this book together. It was something that I really wanted to do, and I convinced him to join me for it. We are a couple, we are married, and we have a kid together, and I just had this urge to write a book about our experiences. I will tell you a little bit more later, you know.
Okay.
Like back and forth.
So your linguistic background would be Spanish?
Yes, so okay. I am originally from Chile, but I have lived in six countries, and I have studied in Chile, Brazil, the US, and Iceland.
Okay.
And actually, some of my studies are on intercultural communication, and that is why I wanted to do this. I have a master's in linguistics and a diploma in intercultural communication.
Okay, so Helgi, tell me about the book. It brings together Icelandic and English. You've written it with Alondra, who's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the approach is rather unique. It's like every page is going to have both languages, so it's also like a great tool for multicultural families for reading together in language pairs. And it, not only the content of the book is supposed to promote like inclusivity and other qualities that we want in our children and the next generation, but also doing so in a way that exemplifies that. The whole book is written in that way to include everyone. So it's going to be multiple language pairs to kind of try to help the demographic that we see here.
And you were telling me, Alondra, before we switched on the microphone, that the other language pairs will be Icelandic and Spanish and Icelandic and Polish.
Yes, that's correct. So the story is about a boy who is 6 years old, and he's growing up in a multilingual household. So the mom speaks Spanish, the dad speaks Icelandic, and we had just wanted to publish it, and we thought, okay, I think the most inclusive way to write this book is So first, we were only going to publish it in Icelandic, and then we started to get feedback from a lot of our friends who are intercultural families like us. And then we realized that actually what was even more inclusive was to write it bilingually. So we decided to have the entire story in both languages, Icelandic and English. Even though my first language is Spanish, we thought that in order to reach a larger readership, it would be better to do it in English. And we weren't sure like how successful we were going to be with the book. So we were very conservative, and we only printed 100 copies, which sold out in like 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there'll be hopefully a reprint in English and Icelandic, and then these two other language pairs as well. Helgi, did you draw from your own family experience as an intercultural family for the plot or anything else about the book?
Yeah, absolutely. It's inspired by what we see around us, and I guess most literature is to some extent.
Yes.
The book covers a boy that's slightly older than our kid, but it's it definitely covers what should resonate with a lot of families here. It should be something they can identify with, and that's in some way not many books that identify with this topic.
Mm. Tell me about the illustrations.
Mm-hmm. So first I started asking around illustrators in Iceland. And fortunately, they are very busy. So most of them were already booked for a long period of time. And we were going to Chile for the winter. We were going to spend there Christmas. So I wanted to print it in Chile and bring the copies back to Iceland. So I was in a little bit of a rush to get it done. So we found an illustrator who was based in Colombia. And because she has never been to Iceland, it turned out to be a lot of work to have to explain to her how the day-to-day life of an Icelandic kid is. So I had to like take photos of the Lake Skoli and the city and so on. And it was a lot of work, but at the same time, I think it was rewarding, and it was like meta moment, because yeah. I was rethinking the life by explaining it from zero to her. So it was an interesting experience.
Helgi, do you think that Iceland is a good place for intercultural or multicultural families? Does it lend itself to a mix of different cultures and experiences?
It's a little bit of a hard question to answer, having lived here only.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So I think my wife would be better at answering that. But I would say yes, but we can do better,
yeah.
Like in most things.
And Alondra, on that then, since you were invited to, you know, with your own experience, but also the experience of your children in this
yeah.
intercultural family in a country like Iceland, mm-hmm. is it a comfortable situation to be in?
So I am in a privileged position to say that I chose to move to Iceland. I decided to come here because of how much I like it here. So of course this is my bias. I do like it here. I am happy here. I feel like Iceland is a place where as a woman I can thrive, I can feel safe. And I think what is wonderful about Iceland is how family oriented it is in comparison to a place like Chile, where it's less safe, or the US where I have lived. Is the society is very adult-centric, if you may. We use this term a lot in Spanish, adult-centric. And I like raising my son here, but at the same time, I feel like there is such a big gap in knowing how to manage intercultural families, multilingual families, and everyone is trying to do their best, but the lack of experience and the rapid change in the society, there is a gap that we wanted to somehow fill
yes.
in.
Well, you've plainly done your bit by writing this book in two languages, one of which is Icelandic. Do you think, Helgi, that enough is done to help people in Iceland who want to learn the language?
No, I think that's fair to answer with just a plain no. Definitely we need to do more. It's a difficult language. It's a rare language. So I think Iceland and also public agencies should not necessarily enforce but promote it in an inclusive way as much as possible, and you can definitely do better. You can see, like my wife was pointing out, that it is happening to an extent, but there is some gap, or you could say like a lag, because it's growing fast, this cultural you could say this cultural sphere in Iceland, yes. where multicultural families, very, very, very fast. Just a few years ago, my parents' generation maybe met a foreigner when they were 20.
Yes.
Or something like, it's outrageous to think about, but that's not the reality today. In,
yeah.
in most classes, there is several multilingual kids
yes.
in the capital area and also in the countryside. So it's definitely increasing, and we need to respond to that as fast as the society is changing.
Yes.
And are we doing that? We're trying, but we can definitely do better, for sure.
And it seems inevitable, doesn't it, that those numbers are going to grow, because Iceland has gone from, in the last sort of 25, 30 years, from being a place that not even tourists would visit in huge numbers to a place that tourists visit in huge numbers. The first time we came here was in 1998, and it was seen as a very, not strange, but quite unusual thing to do, to holiday in Iceland. Now, of course, there are millions of people who do that every year. I want to ask both of you this. You are a married couple. You're working together on this project. You have been working together on this project. How has that been?
Okay, good question.
Have you been asked this question before?
No.
I wonder if you had an answer ready.
I don't know how honestly or how openly I want to answer. So I have been taking the lead for most part. This was my idea, and I don't want to say I dragged Helgi into it, but I would say that he was like very much encouraged to join or be just in the sidelines, just as involved. So, I mean, it's being interesting. I think it has brought us to places where we are revisiting our childhood, we are revisiting our co-parenting experiences and ways of working in many ways. I think, you know, it's been interesting. For example, you were asking about the illustrations, and
yes,
Helgi was giving a lot of feedback on that front. Stuff that I wouldn't have even thought about, like the aesthetics. To me, I was so driven by the message that I wanted to pass on, the narrative that I wanted this book to be associated with, that this type of I don't want to say details, but this type of parts of the project I just didn't think so much about. So Helgi would give really good feedback on, like, for example, Icelandic sheep don't look like this, or you know, like there are even things like, for example, when the kids are playing soccer in the book, playing football, Helgi, I was just asking him, like, what do you even wear?
Yeah.
You know? So it's actually doing this together, coming from such different backgrounds. Like, Helgi grew up in a farm, and I grew up, I only have lived in cities. Reykjavik is by far the smallest city I've lived in. So we tried to, like, blend this, and it's been very, very interesting.
Do you go along with that? It doesn't seem like you've been dragged into this.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm a very willing partner and try to give my best to this project in a way that we are doing it together. But absolutely also fair to say that the initiative came from my wife originally. She is the driving force behind this, as she is with many things in our life. It's a good thing.
Okay. You know?
It's a good thing. It doesn't.
Tell me about the next steps then, because there are going to be, as we said, three language pairs. So a reprinting of the English edition and then the two other language pairs as well. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. Icelandic would be, because it's published in Iceland, so it would be Icelandic and English as mentioned previously. And the other two languages, so we need to work on that. I don't know, I don't speak Polish, so we need some help on that for sure. The other three languages we can handle. Illustrations are done, of course, but
we everything that we did with the first edition was written and edited by us. We received plenty of feedback, and we seeked feedback from families in Iceland, and we actually have talked to families with very diverse backgrounds. For example, some families, both parents are non-Icelandic, so they speak two languages at home, like two different home languages, and then Icelandic outside of the house. Then we have the families like us, where one of the parents is Icelandic, the other one isn't. So this is actually how we came with the idea of doing it bilingually, like I was saying, like write it in Icelandic and English. And that has been a game changer for a lot of families whose children are learning Icelandic in school, but they themselves at home speak English or another language. What we want to do now, the next step, you know, we already published it. We did everything ourselves besides, you know, the illustrations and the designs and those things. We invested money of our pocket to do everything. And then with the sales, we were able to cover the costs of how much it costed to do all of it, hiring the illustrator and printing it and the designer as well. The next step is hopefully receiving a grant from Rannís.
Rannsóknarsjóður. What's the acronym? But
it's like a research center.
Yes, the research grant for.
Okay.
In this case, the specific fund that we're looking into is for development of educational material.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
It's very specifically to this.
It's very specific. So this is not a literary fund. There are many grants that are given to publishing books, translating books. This is to create educational materials. So then you were asking about the next steps is hopefully receiving the grant. We applied a few months ago and we will receive the results at the end of this month. And what we pitched in the project was to do a lot of work pretty much on all the fronts. So this, you could say, was the MVP, the most viable, the minimal viable product of the book. What we printed, we tested the market, we received a lot of feedback. So what we want to do is first improve the manuscript. So the story itself, we will get someone to give us feedback so it's age appropriate for the target group that we're thinking. Then we are going to translate it into Polish and Spanish, so we will have to hire translators. We will get new illustrations. Mm-hmm. From an illustrator based in Iceland, and then we want to develop educational materials for the book to become an educate, like kind of like a textbook,
okay,
not a book, you know, like literature.
So something that could be used in schools, maybe,
yes,
or by educators.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be the dream.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking as we have our conversation, we have friends. Dad is British, mum is Danish,
mm-hmm,
and they have lived in the UK and they've lived in Denmark as well. And the last time we saw them, their son was, I think, 4 years of age,
mm-hmm,
and was bilingual to the extent that he could start a sentence in one language and finish it in the other with absolutely no difficulty, mm-hmm, at all. Children do have a remarkable ability to do that. Is that an ability that exists in your family? Do your children, are they able to switch between two languages that easily?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something that the book should promote.
Yeah.
And the whole premise of the book is to frame that as a superpower and not as a liability, which is often thought of as.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a liability to not speak the local language only, which it isn't. It's the opposite, and that's what the book is supposed to and does celebrate. And so our idea is that it's also helpful for example, in the case of Iceland, fully Icelandic families, because it's always going to be in Icelandic as well, so it's fully readable by an Icelandic family. And the story itself teaches inclusivity and empowerment to a monolingual Icelandic child as well.
Yeah. Well, much to come. We will see a reprint of the book in the Icelandic English language pair. We've mentioned Polish and Spanish as well. And the timetable on that is over the course of this year. So watch this space. Is there a website we can point our listeners to?
So we've been mostly sharing on our Facebook page. The name of the main character is Auki Tahiel. So Auki is an Icelandic name, A-K-I. And Tahiel is T-A-H-I-E-L. And this is also reflective of the multicultural identity of the main character, which is Icelandic and Chilean. So you can find Auki Tahiel on Facebook. This is where we're sharing. But definitely, if we get the grant, we would like to have a website. And actually, the biggest dream of them all is to be able to write a book series where Auki has, you know, adventures and experiences. Like now, it's about him transitioning from preschool into grade school. So Leikskóli to Grunnskóli, which we think it's a huge step in a kid's life. So it's very relatable, like Helgi was saying. I also think that the way that the book is also relatable to Icelandic children is that feeling frustrated and feeling vulnerable, feeling like you can't communicate something, like struggling with that. It's a universal feeling, and also this transition in their lives. So Yeah, this is how you can find us, and maybe in the future there will be a book series.
Well, for now, thank you both very much indeed, Helgi and Alondra. Good luck with what is going to be a busy year, I think, getting this book out to many, many more people. It's RUV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. English@ruv.is.
There is more from RUV English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RUV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV.